Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch, inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show every day right here on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. Because as everyone knows, Scott is a legend in his own mind.
I have memories of watching our guest team play every Thanksgiving. Joining us now on the Say Tama Hotline, he was the first player drafted in the history of the Dallas Cowboys, nine-time All-Pro. Named to two all-decade teams, 60s and 70s. Also the NFL's 100th anniversary all-time team. And he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, of course. The great Bob Lilly. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, Scott. How are you doing?
Buddy, I'm ready for Thanksgiving. Are you?
Yes, I am. It'll be here tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
That's what they tell me.
We'll have all the family together. Be nice.
You know, Bob, I spoke with Ann the other day. She told me she was making pumpkin pie. It was like the only thing she was good at baking, and I didn't believe her.
Well, she bakes. She can bake a lot of things, but she does a superb job on pumpkin pie. So I always look forward to Thanksgiving and Christmas because she bakes her famous pumpkin pie. And I have another kinfolk, sister-in-law, who makes banana pudding, and she always brings a big bowl of that. I pig out on pumpkin pie and banana pudding.
Nothing wrong with that, Bob. And let me tell you, bud, growing up watching the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving, I mean, that was as much a part of our holiday as eating turkey and all that. It had to also be good for you to know that you were going to be able to sleep in your own bed Thanksgiving night. What was it like to play on Thanksgiving every year?
Well, we didn't do that at first. It was Detroit, and I don't remember who they were playing, but they were the forerunners of the Thanksgiving game. But we took over, and I really liked it because it was kind of hard because especially if we played, say, in New York or L.A. or somewhere, and then we had to come home to Dallas. It took us until midnight or so to get to bed. On Sunday, and then we would get, we had a short week, and that was a little bit tiring because you didn't really get to recover completely from the previous game. And likewise, you were still a little bit sore when you played the Sunday game. We had the 3 days off. That's what we really looked forward to because we went hunting out in West Texas. There were several of us. We'd fly out to Midland, and they'd pick us up, and we'd go quail hunting and fishing, and we did that toward the end of my career every year, about 5 years of it, and had a great time. And anyway, it became fun. It was not much fun at first because we didn't know. Our bodies were set for a certain tempo, and of course it changed everything. But then after we started getting those 3 days and 3.5 days off, you kind of get refreshed, which was great.
Yeah, I could see that helping y'all in the games to follow after that. And Bob, you did it all, man. I mean, I looked at your resume and I looked at all your accomplishments, and I knew you had had a wonderful career, but I didn't realize to the extent of your greatness. And I know you're a humble man. I mean, you're a great football player. But you also played for one of the greatest coaches ever, Tom Landry. What was it like to go to work every day and you would see him and you'd be able to have him guide you?
It was great. He was a wonderful man, a wonderful Christian man. And he was brilliant as far as a football tactician, especially a defensive coach. And he was a gentleman. He never screamed at us. But he had his rules and regulations, and they came with a fine. It wasn't with loud noise, but it was if you weren't in your seat when he called the roll, when he started calling the roll, that cost you $50. And every time you were late, it was double. And as far as your weight's concerned, if you were pound overweight at weigh-in, and they had random weigh-ins, it was $15 a pound, and it doubled. And we had one guy, and he was one of our nicest guys on the team, but he couldn't stay away from the food, named Willie Towns. And Willie, God bless him, is gone. But there were 2 years that Willie was on the fat man's table in training camp, and I think they really were kind to him at the end of the season, but they had fined him half of his salary by the time the season was over. And I think they gave him back a quarter of it or something. But anyway, everything. I mean, like late for airplane was, that was $1,000. Lost your notebook, $2,000. That was your playbook. And it was just, we just had, you know, all these fines. And but really, you got to the point where you never really got fined. I mean, I went my whole career and got fined one time. And it was just, my clock was wrong, and I got to practice, sit down. I mean, got to the meeting and sat down, and he said, "Well, you're late, Bob. I'm sorry to tell you." And anyway, we had a player named Jerry Tubbs, who was a linebacker, and he was also a player coach. And Jerry was late one day, and he lived in a city outside of Dallas that the electricity went off. And he said, "Well, Coach, my electricity went off." And Coach Landry said, "Jerry, you need to have a mechanical clock as well as an electric clock." I mean, this was that. But the X's and O's, he was a genius at. And he could see kids. He helped. I know Gil Brandt was a great scout. And I know that Coach Landry would watch film with him. And he would look at players and see them in a different position. And like Drew Pearson was a quarterback in college and came to the Cowboys. He didn't even try him out at quarterback. He put him at wide receiver. Raphael Wright was a basketball player. And he looked at him and thought he might make a great tight end. He's 6'7" and about 235 pounds. Then after a year, watching how actually graceful and strong he was, he called him in before the season and he said, "Raphael, we're gonna put you at offensive tackle." And he said, "Coach, I don't know if I can play offensive tackle." He said, "Well, you didn't know if you could play tight end." He said, "Just put on about 45 pounds, which is not easy. Anyway, Raphael didn't get in a game for about 7 or 8 games. The first game he got in was played against the Rams in Los Angeles. And the famous Deacon Jones, who I went in the Hall of Fame with, was called Mr. Slap. And he was playing right against Raphael. And he said to Raphael, he said, during the count, during the first pass play, Raphael told me, he said, "Hey, boy, does your mama know you're out here?" And Raphael didn't hear the snap, and he hit Raphael in the head, and he said he saw stars. And he said, "But after that," he said, "I thought I played pretty well." I said, "I know you did, because Deacon came over to me after the game. We played in the Pro Bowl together for about 4 or 5 years. He said, "Who is this Raphael Wright kid?" And I said, "Looks like he's going to be your worst enemy." No, I said, "It looks like he's going to be your worst nightmare, Deacon." And he said, "He's got the longest arms and the best balance." I said, "Well, he was a basketball player." But anyway, those are the things. Coach Landry, he put players. I mean, Mel Renfro came in as a running back from Oregon, a very successful collegiate running back, and became a Hall of Fame cornerback. And he played safety his first couple of years. I think the first 8 or 9 years he moved to weak safety and then to cornerback. I think he went to Pro Bowl for 10 years in a row, which was pretty good. So anyway, I had like Cornell Green's another one. Cornell was a basketball player, All-American twice at Utah State, came to the Cowboys. He was a 6-time Pro Bowler and a couple of time All-Pro, and transitioned him from basketball to football. And then we had, of course, Pete Gent. I think he was a basketball player, transitioned him to a wide receiver. So anyway, Coach Landry had a real knack for seeing potential that other people didn't see in players. And so he would take chances, lots of chances on players like that.
Bob, we talk about the greatest players ever. We talk about, comparing eras. First of all, do you still watch much football now? And what do you say to people who say the players today would have been better then, or the players when you played wouldn't be able to play today? What do you tell people?
Well, I just tell them what I did when I started. We had weight limits. I mean, Coach Landry did not want us to be over 265 or 270 at the most. So our weight limit, we had fines on that too. So we maintained a weight. My weight was, at first it was 255, and then he let me go to 260. And finally I said, these guys are getting bigger, Coach, and I need to put on a little weight. He said, well, okay, I'll let you go up to 270, and that's it. So the players today would probably be killed before the first quarter was over at 270 pounds, alignment. So I don't know what I would have been like at 300 pounds. I don't, or 295 pounds or 305 pounds. I would have been muscled up a little more, because we would have taken a lot more, whatever it takes to make muscles, and lifted a lot more weights. But we did have a weight program, but it was a Russian type weight program where we were designed for endurance as well as strength. But you didn't develop the giant muscles that the guys have today. I don't know if I could play today or not, because I wasn't trained, the way they train now. We were totally different. But we were tough, and we played hurt. I've got a picture that you would not believe of a pulled hamstring, with the whole back of my leg was totally purple from my hip to my feet. They drained blood off my foot, and it was about half again as big as my other leg, and I still played with that, although I did miss one game out of 23 years.
Wow.
That I played organized football, and that was it was a playoff game. I never missed a regular season game. And so I know today I played with a compound thumb, broken bone, and it was every week. It was my rookie year. Every week, the bone, when they took the cast off, the bone was sticking out. Dr. Knight just grabbed my thumb, pulled it, and then taped it down and said, you're ready for the next week.
Oh, my gosh.
There's just two ways to look at it. We had fewer players. We had injuries just like they have today, but we had to play with those injuries. So, I don't know. The guys today are not used to doing that. Some of them do play with injuries, but, when you have compound fractures and things like that, I don't see many of them playing like that, or even a broken thumb. But on the other hand, it's a little faster game. I personally enjoyed watching games back. I enjoyed watching my era, the next era, and the era now I enjoy watching, but there's some players that are so outstanding, and then there are some players who are, they probably wouldn't have made our team. So I don't know. It's an interesting game.
We're joined by the great Bob Lilly, all-time great Dallas Cowboys. And Bob, I know you've discussed this a lot over the years, but I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it up. Today is the 58th anniversary of the Cowboys playing at the Cleveland Browns, just days after John F. Kennedy was killed in Dallas, Texas. Can you kind of work us through what that experience was like? What, not only dealing with having to go on the road and play a game, but just dealing with your own maybe sense of personal loss, given what had happened in Dallas a couple of days prior?
Well, it seems like that was on a Friday. And we were out practicing kind of a walkthrough practice on Friday morning, and then we were catching a plane for Cleveland, because we went back in the early days of my career. That was '63. We went up on Friday and had Saturday to go out and run pass routes and kick and limber up and do our exercises and run through a few plays with the offense and just get kind of acclimated to the stadium floor, the grass. Generally, it was shower. Maybe it was cold, or maybe it was snow, or maybe, you know, whatever it was. And so we were out practicing, and our equipment manager came out, Jack Eskridge, and whispered something in Coach Landry's ear. And he didn't mention anything about it. We were all hoping that we'd get through early enough to go down and watch the parade, and which wasn't. We were on Mockingbird Lane, which is about 5 minutes from downtown, and I don't know how we expected to get in to watch it, but it was pretty open. You know, it wasn't like it was cordoned off or any of that. And anyway, when we finally finished up, Coach Landry called us all together. Jack had come out again, and they had taken President Kennedy to the hospital here in Dallas, to the emergency hospital. And then I think I think when Coach Landry talked to us the second time, he had passed away. And it really affected us. I mean, because I think all of us really thought he was a young, dynamic, upcoming person who would be a good president. And we really kind of wanted to meet him, which is what we'd like to have done. But anyway, that happened, and it really, our attitudes deteriorated, not away from football. And just thinking about that, that happened in Dallas. I wonder what the people in Cleveland are going to think. I wonder what they're going to do. And we found out. We got there, and we had to unload our own airplane and the equipment. We unloaded it onto some trucks that they took to the hotel and to the stadium. And we had our training room set up in the hotel. We did not act like we didn't wear anything cowboy. We stayed downtown. We had some favorite little restaurants that we went to, and nobody bothered us. Thank goodness they didn't know for sure who we were, but they figured we probably were the Cowboys. But at the game, when we walked out of the game, the coach said, "You better wear your helmets and your parkas." And so when we trotted out on the field, we got booed soundly. A few people behind us, when we were sitting on the bench waiting to go in on defense, threw beer bottles at us. And we could tell it was not a good thing. I mean, we had no idea what was going to happen, but I had a feeling, everybody did. And this went on for several years. I mean, it wasn't that bad. It got better and better, but still people would boo us. And finally, when we started winning, and I think after our first Super Bowl, or after we won our conference a few times, it faded out, but it was a terrible weekend, terrible, and it lasted because we just kept regretting the fact that it happened at all, and especially that it happened here in Dallas. It was terrible.
Bob, you guys, I mean, I know the commissioner made the decision to play, and he said later on that he regretted it, but was there ever any talk amongst the players saying, you know what, we don't need to play this, we need to stand up and tell them, we're not going to go out? I mean, was it because the union wasn't strong enough at the time, or did you guys just think you didn't have any say?
Well, we didn't at that time have much say. That was about the third year or fourth year of the Cowboys. Third, 60, 61, 62, the fourth year. That was our fourth year in the league. That was my third year. And I don't think our coaches wanted to play. And I don't think anybody wanted to go up to Cleveland and play. But I guess they looked ahead and said, you know, it's going to be there next week. It's going to be there the week after. I don't know. But I do think we should have called that game off. I think that should have been called off. I don't know why it wasn't. And the other game I think should have been called off was the Ice Bowl. But it wasn't either. They couldn't find the commissioner. He was in California, I think.
Bob, think about that. Every time, you know, you could turn on the TV, especially during the NFL playoffs, there's the Ice Bowl, there's Bob Lilly on the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. At least you got that going for you, huh?
Yeah, that was quite a day. I mean, we worked out there on Saturday on that field, and it was 18 degrees. Coach Lombardi had put in the copper pipe that kept the field warm underneath so it wouldn't freeze. And it got so cold, it was 21 or 23 below zero, and it was 35-mile-an-hour wind. It was something like 55 degrees below zero chill factor. And that was by the end of the first quarter. And so the pipe broke under that quadrant that we got beat in, and it froze. The water came up a little bit, and it froze solid. And so we were standing on dirt ice, or ice dirt. And I told people always say, what were you doing on the goal line there? You looked like you were trying to dig a little foothold or something. I said, that's exactly what I was doing, except I had on rubber cleats because the ground was pretty slick. So we all wore our shoes that had the latex cleats on them, soccer type cleats. And they held real good until we get into the ice. And then you can't dig a hole. I told Leroy, I said, if we got time, Leroy, we ought to get a screwdriver. Get the trainer to bring a screwdriver out, and we'll dig us. All we need is three holes, one for you, one for Jethro, and one for me, and we can hold our way up the middle because they can't run outside. They had run outside to play before and lost yardage. So anyway, we didn't do it, but did not want that one was that was cold. We went out and we got whenever we went out to get on the bus, we went could hardly breathe because it was so cold. Five of our guys got frostbite, and we couldn't wear gloves. We didn't take any. Green Bay had on some kind of jersey under their pads that had a turtleneck. They had on a face thing that their face was open, but it covered their head up. They had on gloves, like I say, and we just weren't prepared, and it was terrible. Bob Hayes, I think, went around the whole day with his hands in his belt under his pants so he'd keep them warm. And that's what they told us after the game. I said, well, we knew when Bob was going to go out for the ball because he didn't have his hands in his pants.
Bullet Bob. Well, Bob, before I let you go, bud, the Cowboys play the Raiders tomorrow, 4:30 our time, 3:30 your time. Are you going to tune in?
Oh, yeah. I'll be watching. I sure am hoping that they've got people that are sick and they've got people that are hurt, and they've kind of lost their confidence a little bit, and they've got a lot of linemen. I mean, they've got two defensive ends out, and I don't think they're coming back this week, and they've got one offensive lineman out, and another one is bunged up. So I don't know. I just hope that Dak can get a little time, and we got Amari Cooper is out, and he's one of our big factors, and CD is going to be out. So I don't know. I don't know how it's going to be. I've never seen the Raiders play since they've been in Las Vegas, but I'm sure they're similar to the good old Raiders we used to play. So I think it'll probably be a good game if the Cowboy defense can rise. But I tell you what. With two of their key pass rushers out, it's pretty hard.
He's the great Bob Hayes, or Bob Lilly, first player drafted in Dallas Cowboys history, 9-time All-Pro member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Bob, Mr. Lilly, sir, buddy, we appreciate you coming on this morning. God bless you. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you so much, Scott, and you too. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving as well.
All righty, sir. Appreciate you. That's-